Can you hear that, Vinny?
I can hear it.
Does it sound familiar?
Justice League theme song?
No, that's wrong. Justin, do you know this music? It's the Avengers theme. We're not off to a good start, guys.
So, okay. I don't even know what's going on right now.
That's because it's too early on a Saturday morning for you. All right, this is we're going to call this the Mega Marvel Podcast. It's Eric Chase, Justin Camuso. Did I say your last name right?
Yeah, that's right.
Okay. Friend of mine from the Toledo Museum of Art.
Yes.
Are you going to take Candace's job?
No, I'm not.
And also on the phone, you have seen him falling down, stumbling drunk in many pictures on the internet. You might have even hooked up with him at some point. He no longer lives in the area, but the illustrious Vinny Chase.
Great introduction right there. And it's funny, I was just talking with a former co-host of yours, cousin, about your infamous stories about me on the air.
Oh, yeah, you're well known. You're well known.
Yeah, at least my old roommate, you know, would omit my name when he put my sexual escapades on the air. You know, you would have no problem just, you know, oh, yeah, this is Vinny. Here's his phone number.
Not just anybody, but Vinny the Asian. Here's how this all came about. I think it was on Wednesday or Thursday. There was a dialogue on my Facebook page, and then Justin said something about, you should do a Marvel. You would have break down the Avengers trailer?
Yeah.
Is this what you do when all these kinds of like comic book movie trailers come out? You look for all the hints and theorize things and all that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's what I do.
See,
definitely.
I don't do that kind of thing. Like, I'm just happy they come out, and then I don't care about the follow-up trailers or anything like that. But I know Vinny is down for these things, and we'll wait for all the ensuing Infinity War trailers to come out. So I figured we'd all hook this up, and we can dissect this. And then I have a laundry list of questions to ask you guys. Is that all right?
Yeah, sounds good to me.
Yeah.
So, Justin, you can start us off. The long-awaited Infinity War, Part 1. Trailer came out the other day. What were your big takeaways from it?
Oh, I had a lot of big takeaways. Big thing was Cap's reveal with his beard, which we already knew was coming, but that was really nice. And just seeing like the Hulk is now just suddenly in New York with Doctor Strange and Iron Man, and they're all just kind of hanging around. So that was pretty cool. And then it seems like...
Hold on one second. Let me like recap. I mean, I'm guessing anybody that has any kind of Marvel interest would know these things, but we'll reset the table. Because when last we saw Captain America, he kind of like stepped away from the Avengers.
Yep.
Although he said, I'm only a phone call away.
Yeah.
So he's there, but he's not after the events of Captain America Civil War, which is kind of like Avengers 2.5.
Pretty much.
And the last we saw Hulk, he was on the ship in space with Thor, I believe.
Yep.
After the events of the very good Thor Ragnarok.
Yes, that's
so
correct.
That's where they are. So those are your two big takeaways.
Well, I think the biggest takeaway was just for me, it seems like it's almost like there's two separate events happening. It seems like there's some event happening on a personal level with Thanos directly and Tony and Spider-Man, Doctor Strange, and maybe some other characters. But then it seems like there's a whole nother event happening in Wakanda. And my guess is... there after an Infinity Stone in Wakanda.
And it's almost like when Black Panther comes out in February, if I called Captain America Civil War Avengers 2.5, then I don't want to do 2.75, but Black Panther is like the Infinity War prequel?
It might be, we think.
Vinny?
Yeah, I definitely, that's the same thing I was thinking as well here. And, you know, to piggyback on what Justin said, and I know I had conversation with you, Eric, about this is like I felt, there's like so many different storylines. It sounds like they've divided everyone up to different parts of the world and space too. Don't forget about Thor.
Mm-hmm.
Looks like
Guardians.
He's opening up with the Guardians.
And the Guardians who weren't in this trailer at all, but they were in.
They showed up at the end.
The end of what?
The end of the trailer.
Okay, and then there was also is that where Thor flies on their windshield?
That was in leaked footage that we're not supposed to have seen, but we've all seen it.
Right. That was from San Diego Comic-Con over the summertime. And that's like, because Justin, you alluded to it, how it's almost like there's three different categories.
Mm-hmm.
There's three different sets of Avengers that will all somehow come together.
Yeah.
But that's probably not till 2019 with Part 2.
Yeah.
Vinny, other immediate takeaways from it?
That's my prediction as well here. So I don't think, you know... Tony is ever going to interact with, like, Captain. You know, I think they're, yeah, it's going to be like three different storylines. And I kind of said to you via text the other day too, I was like, you know what, my biggest fear for this movie is having so many characters that felt overwhelming. This trailer kind of quelled those fears for me. And I felt like they might have found a nice balance between that.
Well, it's going to be a long movie. I'm sure it's going to be, they haven't released the time yet. It's going to be 2.5 hours.
At least.
I hope it's like 5 hours. That'd be perfect.
And, in essence, it will be, because don't expect any kind of conclusion with this, because there will be a part two, which will come out in 2019. My overall thing with all this Infinity War stuff, and you guys probably follow the comics, Vinny, I know you do, more regularly than I do, but for me, I read the Infinity Gauntlet a couple of years ago, and it was really good. And then when I read that the Russo brothers, who did, I think, the first Captain America, were going to helm, they did two?
They did the second.
Winter Soldier?
And okay. Civil War, yeah.
When I read that they were going to take up the Infinity War storyline, I'm like, okay, great. No one can defeat Thanos. We're going to need Death, because he's hell-bent to hook up with Death, which is not in this movie or this storyline yet. But I thought the only one that can stop Thanos is Adam Warlock, because these are all superheroes, superhumans. Mm-hmm. But Adam Warlock is like another god, and the only thing we got of Adam Warlock so far was at the end of Guardians in the Galaxy Volume 2. All the gold people give birth to a being, and that will ultimately be Adam Warlock. And I hope that they weave him into Part 2 of Infinity War, because again, Captain America, Iron Man, you can all get together, and I get it, and comic books are different from movies where they've got to have conclusions and stuff, and Kevin Feige's already said this will be the end of this iteration of the Avengers, but Thanos can snap his fingers and everything can go away. Mm-hmm. Captain America is not stopping that beard or not.
No.
So you need Adam. It was funny. Do you guys remember, it was maybe in the first Thor movie in the after credits, with the collector, there was an egg, there was a cocoon, and people thought that that might be the beginning of Adam Warlock, because he is hatched, but it looks like he won't come along until, you know, another Guardians or Infinity War Part 2.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I'm looking forward to it. It'll be a great movie. It'll be the end of a lot. Vinny, you already have a death pool, right?
Oh, yeah. I got definitely a death pool going on. Justin, I'm assuming you want in on this?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Who do we got?
All right, my picks are Tony Stark,
mm-hmm.
Black Widow, and Hawkeye.
Oh, okay.
Hawkeye seems like easy cannon fodder.
Yeah. He's barely done anything. Mm-hmm. He's like no impact.
I do love Hawkeye for some reason. I don't know why. I picked up his run, I think it was like 2013, where they started doing all these like 1970s like comic book covers, and they were like really cool looking, and then it's about him and he's kind of like a recovering alcoholic, and then they kind of pass it on to another Hawkeye, Kate Bishop, I think is her name.
Yeah.
And like, I love that Hawkeye, and I maybe it's just because I see that when I look at Hawkeye on screen, and so I just kind of like, I don't know, I like him. But
he seems easy to kill off, especially since like Jeremy Renner like is not a key actor in it. They can write him off, they can recast him as a woman if they'd like in future Marvel movies.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Vinny, you would think, see, I like to look at it from the Hollywood aspect of it, not necessarily the on screen thing. Mm-hmm. Like
that's what I'm looking at.
Scarlett Johansson might be like, look, we're never going to do a Black Widow movie, so I'd love for her to be in the Daredevil series, which would be incredible because they do have a romance.
Yeah.
But and that doesn't seem likely. So I could see her saying, look, if you're not going to commit to a Black Widow movie, just kill off the character.
I think they're committing to it. I don't think that has been brought up yet, but they have to. After everything that happened with Wonder Woman, and I know they're doing Captain Marvel now, but they have to be doing a Black Widow movie. And that's probably the only reason they'll keep her around, is if they end up doing one. But yeah, I have, so far I have Tony for sure. He's not making it out of this movie.
Why do you feel that way?
Well, Robert Downey Jr. is kind of ready to be done, but also in terms of like story, it kind of gives Peter his Uncle Ben moment. We haven't seen the Uncle Ben moment on screen for Peter in this universe. And so if Tony dies, then that's kind of handing the torch to Peter, and it's kind of an impactful moment for him because he's like a father figure.
Makes sense.
So
Vinny said to me, he thought Tony Stark, Iron Man was going to go as well. And I don't think so, because I think that you can still go to Robert Downey Jr. He can take up the director of S.H.I.E.L.D. kind of role, where he was less Iron Man and call the shots. Kind of like how Samuel L. Jackson has dipped into some of these movies, where he shows up on like a TV screen. Remember what did you guys see the Star Trek movies?
Yeah.
Remember how they were getting Leonard Nimoy in the Kelvin timeline?
Heck yeah.
Yeah, how he would just show up on a monitor. Like, Robert Downey Jr. could say, yeah, I'll take two lines of script, write me $10 million, they'll do it, and he can still stick around and pull some strings. So I don't think he dies.
See, I think the exact opposite for that reason, because Robert Downey Jr. is so expensive. I think there's going to be a mutual feeling of, you know, Robert Downey, he doesn't need the Marvel movies to be an A-list actor. And I think Disney eventually is going to go, all right, we're sick of spending $200 million in every movie. We can cut a third of our budget by just getting rid of Robert Downey Jr. Mm-hmm.
But they pay so little else to all the other actors. Like, some of these guys, like the Hemsworth and the Evans, have made like $5, $7, $8 million for these things, where most of it's gone to RDJ. And I get it. If you're Disney, you're a huge corporation. You're probably about to buy Fox and get X-Men and all this other stuff. A podcast for another time. But I think that they're willing to write his check. But we'll see. Justin, I think you bring up a good point about having a moment where Spider-Man loses something and he refocuses his efforts to being a superhero.
Mm-hmm. I really think so. And I think the other two we haven't talked about, really, I think Vision and Scarlet Witch might also be done. I think Vision, mostly because he does have an Infinity Stone in his head. And so Thanos does have to get that. But I am kind of... I'd always thought that he was going to go because of that, but then they showed it in the trailer that they're getting the Infinity Stone out of his head, so I'm wondering, I don't think they would spoil that, because it's everyone's thinking, like, well, Vision's probably going to die, but I don't think they would show it in the trailer. But I feel like Vision and Scarlet Witch, they kind of threw them in there in Age of Ultron, and it didn't really work too well, and then they got some on-screen stuff in Civil War, but really, they're not really doing much, and they're also way too powerful.
On the back end... On the Hollywood side, maybe Paul Bettany, the actor for Vision, is like, listen.
Tired of the makeup.
I voiced that damn,
Jarvis.
Jarvis for all these movies, and now you're going to kill me off when I finally get a role? I don't know. I think it makes sense that those two could die off because those could be, because they're like a mystical creation, they would be a little easier to replace with a different actor or actress, and it would make some sense.
Yeah.
Vinny, Scarlet Witch, or Vision?
I think they're both going to make it.
Oh, really?
I think so, for the storyline. Yeah, I mean, I like how in the trailer, too, that they tease the Vision, Scarlet Witch romance, just like in the comics.
Yeah, and they tease that in Civil War a little bit, too.
Yeah, I think they're going to make it past this movie. For the Hollywood aspect, actually, I don't know if you've ever known this, but Paul Bettany, he actually was retiring from acting, but Age of Ultron brought him out of it. They convinced him to remain, so I think... he's going to stick around.
And I know that they like to stay true to some aspects of the stories and the backgrounds, but they changed Visions to where it wasn't a creation of Hank Pym, who hadn't been introduced yet. It was created by Ultron, essentially.
Yeah.
So I think they could kill him off because his birth was changed, so they could make his death a little different.
Yeah, because he's kind of also like Tony and Bruce. Right. Like, kind of, I don't know. That was all kind of... weird.
How do you guys feel about, they've made a lot of changes in the Marvel world, and I think they just relaunched it and rebooted it again. Like, there was, what was the Hulk's name? Amadeus Cho was like a little Asian guy.
Yeah.
There's a female Thor.
Riri. Riri is the new Iron Man.
So I wonder if they attempt to go in that direction by killing off any characters, but which would be bold.
It would be really bold. And they did acknowledge that Miles Morales does possibly exist in this universe.
He does. No, he does. I guess there's a deleted scene in Homecoming where I can't remember Donald Glover's character.
He's the Prowler.
Like the uncle. Yeah. He's the uncle of Miles Morales. Yep. And I guess there's a deleted scene where he mentioned
It's in the movie. It's in the garage scene where Tom Holland tries to stop him from stealing the car or whatever, and he mentions his nephew.
Yep.
Yeah. So I don't think it was ever mentioned by name in the actual theatrical cut, but I believe there's a deleted scene. I had the Blu-ray here. I need to check it out.
Yeah.
So.
Two other to hint on, because we haven't really mentioned them as far as dying. Captain America. I mean, he does die in comics. It's a very powerful storyline in Civil War.
Yeah, and I feel like Chris Evans has been the most vocal about kind of wanting to be done, and he's the one they always have to kind of reel back in. So I could definitely see him.
I thought, until he announced sometime last year that he was shooting scenes for Infinity War, I thought he could potentially die at the end of Civil War.
Oh, yeah.
It wasn't the case, but I was ready for it.
Yeah.
I was actually kind of disappointed at the end of Civil War. He walked away instead of dying.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, we already have Bucky and
Falcon
who can both take his place. Even though Falcon is not enhanced in this universe, and they've never alluded to that, he's just as strong as everyone else for some reason.
Right. Which is why no one should have a chance. This movie should end in about 30 minutes, where Thanos shows up at Earth and goes, bang, everyone's dead, I have all the Infinity Stones, and he just lives in the universe by himself with Galactus.
Not yet. We don't own that character yet.
But how about Vinny, Black Panther?
He's going to make it? Of course he's going to make it. They're gonna milk Chadwick Boseman for the next 8 to 10 years. They just got him. They're not going to get rid of him yet.
Yeah, he's going to be a key member. Him, Doctor Strange, Spider-Man, all going to be key members in the next phase of the Avengers for sure.
I thought when they had announced, even before they announced Benedict Cumberbatch was taking over Doctor Strange, when they were talking about getting that into the MCU, the Marvel Cinematic Universe, I thought that the Doctor Strange character was going to act as the next phase, whatever they're calling the next 20 movies.
Yeah.
I thought that would be the integral, the fulcrum, the backbone of the universe, how Iron Man and Tony Stark and Robert Downey Jr. has been for this phase.
Mm-hmm.
And especially once they casted Benedict Cumberbatch, I don't know if he'll eventually take over that Iron Man backbone role, but he'll certainly be important, especially if you watch the trailer closely. Whenever he was in a scene, he seemed to be casting some magic onto, like, Bruce Banner, and Wong was there, so he seemed to be very... I mean, if you're going to fight Thanos, you need magic.
Oh, for sure. And I love then, again, this isn't in the real trailer, this is in, like, the D23 footage that I've seen, is that there's a scene where Doctor Strange throws out his little platforms and Star-Lord is, like, jumping across them, which I think is just kind of a fun idea.
Guys, is Star-Lord a superhero, or is he, like, Batman?
I don't know.
He doesn't have any powers, right?
Yeah, he is, like...
He gave up his powers in the end of Boeing 2.
Yeah, so he is, like, a Batman, Boba Fett, Han Solo, Indiana Jones, all in one.
Yeah.
All right, final thoughts. Any other takeaways from this trailer or what you're expecting from Infinity War when it comes out? I think, what is it, April or May of next year?
I think May next year. That's usually when the Marvel movies come out.
Yep.
May or April.
All right, so takeaways or expectations from future trailers or when this thing comes out? Vinny?
I don't know, man.
Way to be prepared.
Yeah.
Justin?
I have zero expectations other than to be wowed every time I see one of these.
Future trailers or expectations when this movie comes out or other things you hope to learn about this?
Yeah, my expectations are really high. Obviously, they've done they have a really good track record with most of their movies. But we do have to remember that, like, Avengers 2 is not
any good,
that great of a movie, and so that does make me a little nervous with all these people. But I feel like expectations just need to go into it understanding that, like, obviously Iron Man is going to have the most screen time, and then it's going to be Captain America, and then, like, Thor, and you need to like if you're, like, a huge Scarlet Witch fan, you have to expect that she's not going to be in the movie all that much, or, like, you know. And I feel like once we have those expectations, that's kind of okay if not every character has a huge arc throughout the movie. Like, I don't know if Falcon's going to have an arc or if he's just going to be there to kind of support what Cap is doing. And that's what he's good at.
Like, there are people out there, to your point, who are probably sitting waiting for Don Cheadle to have his breakout War Machine role, right?
Yeah, probably. But we just need to know
he's going
to
be the star of this thing.
He broke his back or his neck, right?
Yeah, I wish they had just kind of committed to...
They alluded to that, I think, in the Thor movie.
Oh, no, it's in Doctor Strange.
Yeah, to fix some guy that, like, fell and broke every bone in his body.
Yeah.
That's right, when he's driving in the car, before he has the accident.
Yeah, exactly.
That's right. All right, I have some general, like, Marvel questions for you guys, all right?
Okay.
So, Vinny, right, I'll start with you. Name an obscure character that most people don't talk about, that's not part of, like, website fodder or anything like that, that you like or enjoy that more people should get into.
All right, you're going to be mad at me for saying this, but I'm not reading any current Marvel right now, actually.
Well, I don't care. I mean, just an obscure character. Like, for instance, in 2005, I got like eyeball deep into Deadpool. Mm-hmm. And Deadpool was a thing, but not like Deadpool is now.
He wasn't on all the t-shirts yet.
Right, exactly. I was like, this guy had cancer and he's like Wolverine with a mask and he breaks the fourth wall and he's sarcastic and curses. I'm in.
Yeah.
And I found them because I played, you never played the game Ultimate Alliance?
Heck yeah, that's where I learned most of the X-Men characters.
Exactly. So give me a character like that now, Vinny.
All right, you want to go really obscure here. I want to say it was about 2000-2005 era. Marvel did something with X-Force where they kind of just made some really weird characters. It was kind of a riff on like superhero and Hollywood life. I'd like to bring up the Ecstatics.
Ecstatics?
I don't know who
Ecstatics.
That is.
Okay.
Yes.
All right.
It was I can't remember who wrote it. I think it was but it was drawn by Mike Allred, Madman.
Okay.
But, they kind of, like, flipped the whole superhero genre, kind of made, not really made fun of it, just kind of poked fun at itself, you know? It made it self-aware that, you know, these superheroes in this universe lived in a comic book world, but, you know, they were treated like celebrities, like we worship the Kardashians, we worship these heroes. Mm. So I'd like to see them do something like that. It obviously would never be an MCU. It would have to be like an HBO show that like raunchy.
What was the TV show that was canceled that was on NBC that kind of took that from a civilian aspect? Do you know what I'm talking about?
Oh, it was
Powerless.
Yeah.
Yes.
Never watched it.
Vanessa Hudgens and Danny Pudi of Community.
It was a terrible show, Justin.
I never watched it.
Justin,
I heard it was terrible.
An obscure Marvel character that you think people should like check out.
You know, I think I haven't really done a lot of reading on her, and again, kind of same thing with like video games and past of like really interesting stuff. I really think like She-Hulk could be a really interesting character to kind of take over. Only because like she is like a human, like she's just a human, like she looks normal. She doesn't like look like the Hulk does, but she's just green, and it's always just kind of like interesting because she's like stuck like that, and she kind of has to go through her day-to-day where she can't just turn back into like the Bruce Banner or like a normal looking person. And I always found that kind of interesting. And I again, we talked about kind of these rehashing of like new characters with like different people in them, and I really think
I'm not a fan of that.
the new Captain Marvel, I think, is like really, really or Miss Marvel, because she's like Muslim, and I just think that's like a really interesting flip that they did, and I would love to see more of that, especially like in the movies now, and I feel like. Nothing is really off the table because of the huge success of Wonder Woman and the huge success of what Black Panther is about to. They don't even know what's coming to the box office. Like, it's going to be huge. And I think they're really, really going to be willing to try to do like diversity in leading roles in these Marvel movies. And it's not just going to be the same, you know, 35 to 40 year old white guys. So
retiring.
Yeah, that are all retiring. So
mine and Vinny, I think you know this is
mine. I know what you're gonna say. I know exactly who you're gonna say.
Who am I gonna say?
Squirrel Girl.
You're gonna say Moon Knight.
Yeah,
Moon Knight. Oh, that'd be good.
Who had like some kind of accident and prays to an Egyptian god and is like batshit crazy, mm-hmm. but very Batman-like. Yeah. Like his comics are brutal and ruthless and bloody, and in some ways, it makes Wolverine look like it's PG-rated.
Yeah, and I do have to say, if I was waiting for anybody in particular, like it'd be Nova. Like not the Nova Corps, like Nova, the hero himself.
Yep.
Either Richard Rider or Sam Alexander, who was the last one, who's his son. I love it. It's like a Rocket Man kind of thing. I don't know.
All right. Next question. Vinny, who is your favorite Marvel writer? I know you know this stuff. Justin, do you follow writers? Okay, give me your favorite writer or favorite storyline ever in like the Marvel universe. Vinny?
Well, my favorite writer recently was Brian Michael Bendis, actually. But that's a moot point now. Probably recent memory, Ed Brubaker. Okay. I loved his Iron Fist run.
Okay.
Favorite storyline? Probably because it's so recent for me. I don't know. I'd really have to dig through my Marvel archives, but like I've been telling people when they can, you know, read the Old Man Logan storyline.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, oh, that's a great one. I'll give you. I like that one a lot. But the one that you told me about, and for whatever reason, it never picked up. And it would make for great TV because they could do it Legion like, where it was very real life, or like very. They could be like the Punisher, also very real life. Not a lot of costumes and capes. But whoever wrote that Magneto story, that Magneto origin that you told me to read a couple years ago.
Like, yeah. Oh yeah.
I don't think that comic has a run anymore, but it is a brilliant comic book take on Holocaust times. And everybody should kind of know Eric Lenscher. That's not his even real name, but he comes from a Jewish family, part of the Holocaust, in concentration camps. It would make for some kind of great TV or cinema.
Well, I love how in all the recent years and like all these Fox movies, they've always hinted that they wanted to do a Magneto movie, but instead of just doing it, they just put in like full half hour segments of just Magneto stuff. That's all really good.
Oh, you're right. I remember they kicked around the Magneto idea for a long time, and I was like, that's not going to work.
But and then, you could tell they just include it and sprinkle it in all the X-Men movies now.
Have you read this his origin storyline?
I've not read that one.
And I don't know who read
it. It's not really an origin storyline. It's like an offshoot of the X-Men. He kind of just goes on his own. There's I don't think there's any X-Men cameos in it, at least the main storyline, until, you know, the enforced Marvel tie-ins.
How about this? I'll call it Young Magneto, because he is a kid in the concentration camps in the beginning of it.
Yeah, well, I think they kind of flash back to his origins, but I don't think it's really an origin story per se. I would compare it to, like, if, like, it's like a Magneto revenge story. He just goes around the U.S. and just kills mutant haters. It's awesome.
Justin, you have a favorite writer or storyline?
Yeah, I kind of had talked about it a little bit already with the Hawkeye storyline, and I had to double check on the authors. It's Matt Fraction and David Aja, who did the 2012 to, I think it was 16 or 2012 to 2015 Hawkeye run. It's really good.
I've heard of Fraction. I don't know what else he's written. I'm not good with the writers, but
I'm always really bad with the writers.
All right, next question.
Wait, what was your answer?
I'll give you the Magneto one. Old Man Logan is good, and I think it was either Brubaker or Bendis who did the Daredevil run. And I forget, it was so long, I just kept reading it. And it might not even...
Yeah, yeah.
Bendis might have picked it up halfway through, but I forget. But it...
Who did The Man Without Fear?
Kevin Smith started the Daredevil run, the Marvel Knights.
Right.
And then Bendis took it over.
Maybe that's what it was. Without Fear, I think, was Frank Miller.
That's right, okay.
Yeah.
All right. Vinny, what superpower would you like? What Marvel superpower?
Oh, it's got to be a Marvel superpower?
Yeah.
All right. I'm going to go... I'm going to go Wolverine's healing power.
Okay. Oh, to get over hangovers?
Yeah, definitely right now. And plus, like, he's, like, forever ageless, and people say I'm, like, way younger than I look anyway, so it's just perfect for me.
Maybe you already have it.
I doubt it.
Justin, a Marvel superpower?
If we were speaking general superpowers, it'd probably be just, like, flight and simple, but it'd be Spider-Man's. But it'd be kind of tough. I'd have to move. I couldn't. There's only, like, 6 buildings in Toledo I could probably swing from.
Right.
But, yeah. Spider-Man for sure.
You took mine. I would want Wolverine's healing power. I like that. I like that a lot. Never have to worry about, like, I don't have to worry about Obamacare or buying my own insurance or anything like that. Bullet wound, it'll heal.
Yeah. Well, let's take
That'll be especially helpful in Toledo.
Yeah. Right. You should just be, you know, like, take Rogue's power, but then also live in a world that doesn't have any other superpowers, so
It would be useless.
Exactly.
I wouldn't have to wear gloves. All right.
Let's go opposite then here. What would be the worst superpower to have?
Oh, gosh. Well, Iron Man, Tony Stark, because he didn't have any.
The power of money.
What were you thinking, Vinny?
I hate to be Daredevil, you know, to be blind. I mean, cool, you get that sixth sense, but, like, to be blind, come on. That would make my strip club experience horrible.
You could hear the boobs slapping together, or the cheeks. Yeah. What was the biggest oh shit moment for you, Vinny, in the MCU in all the movies? Like, I can't believe they just did that. And I know I'm hitting you guys with these.
That's a good
one. You can take a second and think about it. The biggest oh shit moment in all the Marvel movies.
Honestly, I'm going to go back to the Big Bang. The very first after-credit scene when Samuel L. Jackson shows up as Ultimate Universe Nick Fury.
Right.
I mean, that's it. That's the big bang right there.
When Nick Fury finally shows up as Samuel L. Jackson.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Justin?
I got to go with, you know, it's hard not to mention it, but just that moment in New York when they're first, all five of them, yeah, all together for the first time, that does that big circular hero shot, or there's six of them. I don't know why. I thought there was five, but...
We're counting Hawkeye?
Yeah, we're counting Hawkeye. He's in the shot. So that's a pretty awesome moment. If I had to say personal, like, favorite moment, though, I would say, like, probably the Captain America, like, elevator scene.
Yeah, it's a great sequence.
Obviously the whole airport hangar at Civil War.
I'll go also in Avengers, early in the movie when Loki has his brief chat with Thanos. Because at that point, like, I understood, like, how big, no pun intended, this universe was going to be. Mm-hmm. Like, eventually, you're going to run out of stuff to do on Earth. Bad people were going to have to show up. And in, like, Fantastic Four movies, Galactus has shown up. Like, this is, like, an epic vision. And it took how many movies for Thanos to show up until the first Guardians movie?
Yeah, so that was...
Like, 12?
10, 12, something like that.
But at that point, I was like, oh, shit, they're going big with this. They're like, they're going for the home run. Next question. What's your biggest MCU gripe, Vinny?
Probably sometimes I wish the movies, my favorite MCU movies are the Guardians of the Galaxy.
Okay.
Just because they kind of exist on their own. They don't force the corporate initiative too much on them. Sometimes they just try to put... I mean, Age of Ultron is basically a commercial for more Avengers movies.
Right.
Let's be honest. That's what it was.
They all
are. Iron Man 2 was a commercial for an expanded MCU period. So I want the movies to be more personal sometimes. And, you know, just maybe a little... I don't mind a little bit corporate synergy, but you just don't force it too much. That's what bugs me sometimes.
Justin, your biggest MCU gripe...
I agree with that, and I sometimes feel like they kind of, they introduce really cool concepts, or they'll kind of allude to things that might, it's the same thing where they just sprinkle in all this information, and then it's like they do it so that, like, it gives the next writer room to do something if they want to, but then sometimes the follow-up movie doesn't do anything with it. Like, we allude to this stuff in Ultron with, Black Widow's upbringing and all this stuff. And in the trailers, they showed a couple clips from, like, her flashback or her memory thing.
Yeah.
And it was really exciting. And we thought, oh, this is going to lead into, like, the Black Widow, like, her growing up and, like, being an assassin. And it could be, like, a really different, low-level, like, MCU movie. And then they just don't do anything with it.
Sounds like a Netflix show, bro.
Yeah, it really does, doesn't it?
Yeah, let's get Scarlett Johansson on our Netflix show. I'm sure she'll go for that. Yeah.
You know, I don't really have any there. There would be, like, more nitpicky things other than just the commercialization of they are all promos for the next movie. So I'm curious to see how Infinity Part 2 wraps up. But I don't have major gripes with anything other than the villains are pretty lackluster. Like, yep. I mean, you're talking about maybe the most powerful villain in the history of comic books in Thanos. Again, he can snap his fingers and existence goes away. And I'm wondering how they're going to get that against a bunch of superhumans and how that's going to play off since he is all powerful. Because I feel like they kind of really dropped the ball, not necessarily with the origin of Ultron, but like how powerful he is. Mm-hmm. And... how easily he was defeated. So some of the villains have been really lackluster. And I know everybody loves Loki, but Tom Hiddleston is great in the character.
Yeah.
But some of the villains are really, really lackluster.
So
at the top of it would be Ultron for me.
Who are the top three most well-developed best villains in the MCU?
Loki.
Loki's number one.
Loki.
If you're going to use the word developed, it's Thanos because it's taken 38 movies to get to him finally showing up.
But we don't know his motivations yet.
He wants the and you're right, because he want the stones?
The
he wants death.
Yeah.
He wants to hook up with death, which is very morbid unto itself. The best developed villain. Loki's the all-around one.
Yeah. I like Michael Keaton's Vulture a lot.
They did a good job with
him. He was a great villain, very well-developed, very good backstory.
I actually don't mind Ego, the Living Planet.
I hated that.
Oh, you didn't like it? I'm just a sucker for Kurt Russell, so.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I also really liked Baron Zemo in Civil War. Yes. I thought that was a great
I
film.
Thought that was so good, and it was so different from anything I expected it to be.
All right, when I was watching the movie, I didn't know how to take it. I was disappointed in the Mandarin reveal, but then after the fact, when I read about what the director's vision was, that the Guy Pearce character, that he was the Mandarin, I was like, okay, I like that. So, but I get why people were really upset. And then I know after the fact, in the post credits for another movie, they had what's his face, Ben Kingsley. Alluding to that there actually could be a Mandarin out there.
Yeah, that was just to kind of make people, I don't know.
But still,
a top
10 villain that they really left on the table, other than the creative usage with the Guy Pearce character.
Yeah.
So, I mean, the villains have been a little bit of a letdown.
Yeah, they have been.
I asked the questions on this podcast.
Sorry.
I think I have two more here. Vinny. And these are quick ones. Name all the X-Men you can without pausing.
Cyclops, Wolverine, Storm, Jean Grey, Nightcrawler, Beast, Iceman, Professor X. Is that
pause.
A pause right there?
Stop. Yeah. Justin, name all the Avengers you can without stopping.
Okay. Iron Man, Black Panther, Thor, Captain America, Scarlet Witch, Black Widow, Spider-Man, Doctor Strange, War Machine, Falcon, Winter Soldier, and that's
pause. All right.
This is unfair. Technically, like, everybody. Marvel character has been an Avenger at one point. You can just name every Marvel character.
Yeah.
Vinny, name an MCU piece that gets shit on that you actually like.
Oh, I'm sorry, what was that? I didn't hear that.
Name an MCU movie that gets crapped on that you actually kind of like.
Everyone craps on Iron Man 2, and I get the criticism of it. You know, it is just commercial for the MCU, but I actually do enjoy it. I don't think Whiplash was that bad of a villain, but to me, it was just a fun movie. And what struck me about that was, you know, it's kind of cool being Tony Stark and Iron Man. They don't hide from that, you know. Another thing, my favorite thing about the Iron Man movies is MCU. No one has secret no one has secret identities.
Right.
Yeah. Like, you know? So Iron Man 2 gets shit on a lot, but I do like it.
Justin,
I do enjoy
a Marvel movie that gets shit on that you actually kind of like?
I would say then Iron Man 3, because I know we already alluded to it. The Mandarin thing really throws people off with that movie. And then Gwyneth Paltrow kind of just becoming like a fire person at the end is really strange. But at the core of it, it's most of the movie is this whole like post, you know, Avengers.
It's a PTS movie.
It's a PTS movie with
movie.
Tony Stark, where half the movie he's just in the middle of nowhere with some kid, and he's kind of like coming to terms with being a superhero. And that's almost like, it was almost like another origin story for Tony. And plus, Shane Black did it, who, he's hilarious. He did The Nice Guys a couple years ago, and that's like one of my favorite movies. He's
really
clever.
That movie. Great movie.
I like all the armor at the end.
Yes, the suit switching is really good in that movie, too.
Yep. I don't like you talk about things that they put out there and they don't follow through with, which sometimes are bad ideas, where he throws all his armor into the ocean.
And like, blows it all up.
And kind of gives up Iron Man, but... And then it comes back. So I didn't like that. The one that I like that people give a hard time to, and it's totally overlooked. It's not even like this. It's not panned. It's just dismissed. I like Thor: Dark World. Like as a standalone movie. I know Malekith wasn't the greatest villain or the most popular villain, and there wasn't a whole lot of Loki. It was kind of like a team up there. I like that movie a lot.
I will say, Thor: The Dark World was the movie that finally turned me around on Loki. I always liked him. I didn't understand why he was like the main villain in the Avengers, and I kind of thought he was just kind of like there. But the Dark World did get me really on to kind of understanding Loki now, finally, and understanding like Tom Hiddleston's perspective of it, which made the Avengers and then like all the subsequent movies better for me.
Last question as we wrap up this this mega Marvel podcast, Vinny, do you remember your first comic book you bought or read?
Definitely. I honestly don't remember the storyline because I was like really, really young. But my dad used to take me to this barber shop in Point Place, and the barber there had old X-Men comics. So those were like the first things I ever picked up.
Justin.
It has nothing to do with Marvel.
That's fine.
When I was little, sometimes I would have to like go into work for like with my mom for a little bit before like another adult could come pick me up and take me where, you know, how you need to get carted around when you're a child by other adults. And sometimes on her way, she would stop at this one little like random gas station that had just a random stack of like Star Wars comics. And I was already super into Star Wars, like by that point already, and just being able to kind of indulge more into my Star Wars nerdom was really good. And I could just pick them up like once a week. We would stop there, and it was great.
I think I went to one of those towny drugstores, pharmacies, not a CVS or Rite Aid, just a local one. And this is like in a real city, not some small town, America, Philadelphia. And I think it was like a Fantastic Four or a Spider-Man comic book. But what made me such a big fan was growing up watching all these TV shows, yep, like Spider-Man and His Amazing Friends.
Yep.
And watching like the really, really old one with the cheesy Spider-Man song that everybody knew. So
greatest theme song ever.
X-Men Evolution, the TV show, was kind of one of the first things, because I'd say I was like 11, because that was kind of in time with when the X-Men movies were coming out.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was just like another way to like really get involved. And, you know, I think that's what kind of really got me into the MCU as a whole, was that TV show probably. And obviously like all the video games and everything that went with it. And,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right. That was it. We went a lot longer than I expected, but that's totally okay. Vinny, how are you with Star Wars?
Pretty good.
Okay, because Justin's a big Star Wars wonk.
I am.
I couldn't keep up with you two on that.
I used to read Star Wars novels that are now not longer canon. So,
right.
If that qualifies my geekdom.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you guys. Justin, I appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you.
Vinny, you should thank Justin because it was his idea, and then I figured we rope you into this.
You know, thank you, Justin. I've been trying to bug you, Eric, about doing a podcast for like years. So we need to do this more often.
Yeah, I'm down.
Where's Proctor on this, by the way?
Why isn't
he on this?
He's not allowed on this radio station, that's why.
Oh, that's right.
Minor detail. All right.
Yeah,
thanks for listening to this Marvel Mega Podcast, or the Mega Marvel Podcast, for Justin Camuso and Vinny the Asian Chase from downtown Toledo fame. It's Eric Chase. Thanks for listening.